Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
evening, good evening, and welcome. Welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. Somewhat rested and refreshed. You know, they talk about having a beauty nap and stuff. I must have been some ugly shit because I look like 10 miles of bad paved road. But now I'm feeling somewhat spry as we prepare for tonight's elucidation. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Brother Man Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNewsroom, all one phrase.com. Shout out to the Brother Man Network, coming in as soon as they come in. And all that. And that's not me. That's my brother, Gary, even though we're working in the kitchen as well. What's up, G?
I don't want to hear another word about the Eagles and play that again. Because all week long,
really?
The Eagles are here. I've been talking about that game all week long.
That's funny because I wasn't paying attention to it. I was trying very hard not to. Because you got to get credit where credit is due. Philly is 10-1. They have, who should be, the MVP in Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
They run through a gauntlet of exceptional opponents. They be down.
Let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening out here.
What's that?
These 49ers fans are praying, hoping, wishing, and they beat the Eagles on Sunday. Here's their logic. If they beat the Eagles, then they're going to say, oh, the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to be on next week. Now, see, they're looking for number one seed in the AFC, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if the Eagles win on Sunday, there's no way they're not going to get number one seed.
You got to be kidding me. I'm surprised that they're raising a stink. You know, where I come from, one is less than three. You lose one game, that means you get a better record than a team that lost three games. And Philly didn't just win 10 games. I mean, they won them in spectacular fashion.
Well, that goes to the philosophy of the NFL. They want Purdy to be Ertz. They want Purdy to be Ertz so bad. I want people to pay attention. I want you to watch all referees this Sunday. Okay? Referees this Sunday.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I'll tell you, because there's a 2.5-point swing.
Now, I was discussing that with Tony before the show started. How a ham sandwich, to quote our brother Reggie, can Philadelphia be a 2-point underdog when it's a home game at their stadium and they have
the better record? On Sunday, they were a 1-point underdog. On Sunday, going to Monday. How's that happen?
Unbelievable.
You go from 1 point one point underdog to a 2-point favorite in 3 to 5 days. That means money's going over the place.
That's That's a huge money swing, bro. We saw that a few years ago.
Yep.
Before the NFL got holier than that about money, when Pittsburgh was favored, or that the Jets were favored against Pittsburgh. The Jets had no business even being close to favoring that game. And the line swung from 9 to minus 1. And that's a lot of money. So if there wasn't, the San Francisco people and fans are stupid enough to roll with this, I say, good, take all that money.
Well, I'm upset because the Bay Area has communicated the Raiders. The Raiders do not exist now. They do not exist in the Bay Area. I knew that was coming because this year the Bay Area did not broadcast Raiders games. They haven't done for a long time.
This is
the first year where regular broadcast.
Wow.
It's the first year. So I knew this was coming with the 49ers.
Well, what started this?
When the Raiders moved to Vegas, NBC broadcasted their games. This year they said we're not doing that. And now you only get it from Bucks or CBS, either one or other.
But why are they getting all huffy about the Eagles? I mean, it's not because
of Michael, come on, you know why. Because of they want Bernie to beat Ernst. That's what this is about.
You would think it would be so simple. 10-1 is a better record than 8-3. But yet, they still want to keep this nonsense going on. It's like, accept the fact that one team's better and try to beat them.
Yeah.
But you're going to make them a rivalry. You know, it's a fair complete.
Well, it's like in Chicago. Chicago with Fields. It's like Carolina with Bryce Young.
Right.
They're fighting inevitable, and they're going down hard. It's going down hard.
Well, look. You're out there on the West Coast. Are any of the 49er players jumping on this?
Oh, it's the usual banter. Mm-hmm. The Eagles and Niners don't like each other. That goes back 4 or 5 years ago when the Eagles won over the Niners with McNabb years.
Right.
And that part just goes back.
Well, let me ask Tony. Brother Derek coming in. Tony, where I come from, if you beat a team, if your record is better than the other team, that usually means they're going to get you as a favor, especially if your game is at home. Tell me what the ham sandwich is going on with these folks.
See, there you go with that damn logic again. Come on, man. This is This is the National Football League. It's not supposed to make any sense. We're here to entertain y'all. You know. You're 10-1. What is that supposed to mean, I say it before and I'll say it again, you know, and thankfully I got my computer back. But if it was not for, you know, the field generals, I swear to you, I don't know how much football I'd be watching now.
Put it this way.
You know something's wrong when Giselle's husband is the voice of reason. Although it's a little self-centered, though, I feel, in a sense. But no, it's just, you know, here's the thing. They're butthurt because their man child, bigger than life, bigger than God, player. He was given all sorts of opportunities to play hero ball and all that other stuff, and they still lost. So now Jim Jeffries, Brock Purdy, is going to be put up to put football back where it's supposed to be, so to speak.
Okay.
But look, what's crazy now is that you basically have former Russian gymnast writing about the NFL, because now it's more about style. It's about style points now. It's not, you know, damn you and your 10 wins. Damn you and your butt push. Damn you and your defense. San Fran's the best team. You know, there was I don't know if it was someone came out with, I guess, like these power ratings. I have no idea what, you know, I don't remember ever seeing power ratings in the NFL. You know, we barely get that in the colleges. But this alleged power ranking had the team with the best record in the NFL fifth. Not four, not three, not two, not one, but fifth. I just feel that from you, Gary. Sorry. But but the thing is, what makes it even more egregious, three of the four teams in front of them, they've beaten them within the last calendar year. And that includes the number one team being the San Francisco 69ers. Now, here's the thing. The Niners are a decent team. I'm not going to take that away from them. When all cylinders are working, they're one of the better teams in the NFL. Are they the best team in the NFL? No, they're not. They're not the best team. They're not even the best team in the NFC. The best team in the NFC resides at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Look, they're the champs. They've been the best team in the NFC the last 2 years, and until somebody beats them, live with it. And you know, it's not like in college ball where they can load up and play, you know, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Maritime. They just say, where are we playing Sunday or Monday or where have you? And we go show up and win. Now, yes, did they have a ridiculous brain fart in Jersey against against that alleged team that wears also wears green. Yeah, sure. That, you know, and
to be honest,
it was probably a good wake up call for them because if you want to say that they're not the best team because basically of one game, then you know, I don't know what kind of football you're watching. I really don't. And see, all we've been hearing wait till Brock Purdy's healthy. You just wait till Brock Purdy's healthy. Well, look, here's the thing. We'll see after Sunday. As far as I'm concerned, they're the best team till you beat them.
Well, but you know, my thing is my take on this is that the Eagle defense is better than the Niner defense.
If
the Eagles get a lead early, wrap it up. If the Niners get a lead, the game will go on to the half. That's gonna be different.
And also, it looks like they may be signing Mr. Leonard. Who incredibly got released by the Colts.
But, he's going to be the best.
You know, he gives them more depth. Yeah,
no question.
Yeah, I guess I think they brought him in for like a physical today. I don't know if he's going to play Sunday. It might be pushing it a bit, but I think they're going to do whatever they can. What's that?
Yeah, we can wait. We can wait for next Sunday whenever he's ready. It'll be no problem. When he suits up, he'll be ready. But this also reflects on Jalen Hurts, who is having one hell of a fucking season.
Outstanding year. Yes, he is.
Nobody will say anything about it.
Yes, he is.
It's a good thing that we are with the field generals because nobody is talking about how great Jalen Hurts is playing. He beat the Dallas Cowboys like he was supposed to. He then beats the Super Bowl champions on a couple of drops and all the other shit, but Philadelphia shuts out Kansas City 17-0 in the second half and wins the game. Then,
at their place, too, no less.
At their place, exactly. Then they play Buffalo, and they stomp on Buffalo 37-34 with a great finishing drive in overtime after that field goal kicker kicks a 60-yard field goal in the fucking game. That's some serious shit. And it gives you leadership to hurt to get the team down the field and score and get the W. As you would say, hurt don't.
Yeah. You know, if the votes were in today, I think I would like to think that he would be MVP. You know, you can make the argument for him winning it last year, but I think this year, clearly, he's taking his game to another level.
Yep. Look, even though we know one in Minnesota, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that.
But it sure helps.
The league does not want the face of that league to be black. It's the WWE, the hero must be white. Yeah, and Jalen Hurts, he's not a rock riser. When Cam Newton was kicking ass in 2015, he was poking the bear. He was like, look at me, I'm good. And he was good. And they fixed it there. Jalen Hurts is just happy to get the win and move on. Who's next on the schedule? You see, they can't even figure out how to approach tearing him down because he's just winning all the time. And he's staying humble with it. But you know, there will be some sabotaging with what's going on Sunday.
And that's why I say people need to watch the line this week. The linebackers, when they go holding, I'm no genius here, but I know you go holding every play if you wanted to, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't do that, but they could.
They're good.
Gary, are you trying to insinuate that there is shenanigans going on in professional sports?
No.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really kind of funny. The other thing to me, you know, I'm actually looking up the line as we speak on Vegas Insider. I'm trying to see what the trend was for this game. But just give me a sec, guys, while I'm trying to find this.
Okay, Michael, it just seemed ridiculous. Like, today on radio, these guys were going off on, what's wrong with y'all?
Yep.
It's one game. And they were all calculating how the Niners could get the number one seed. You should hear the conversation out here. It's craziness.
Well,
I have found it, guys.
Think about this.
Ironically, Michael, the line opened at the line opened. The Eagles were a 3-point favorite.
Okay.
But now, as we speak, the Niners are a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it's rich.
So if a million bets represent 1 point, then we've seen a $5.5 million swing over the next few days on that bet alone. You got Patrick Ferrar with us in the mix. I want to ask this guy.
And oh, by the way, the over-under is one. I'm just trying to find the over-under as well.
About 2.3.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's probably. And see, plus, it's a Sunday. It's a Sunday night. No, it's not a Sunday night game. I apologize.
It's an afternoon game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's talking about it out.
The only thing is, guys, when they flexed it out, they would have had to have done it already. So it's staying at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's staying at 4 o'clock because they've got the Chiefs and the Packers for the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, it's the Bengals and the Jaguars. Oh, that'll be fun.
Which might not be a bad game.
Well, I guess because with the Bengals, you never know what you're going to get. But I guess the Jaguars, with their win last week, now they've sort of solidified themselves for that division. But the other trend, and we've been talking about this all year too. I think for the last 2-3 weeks, all of the nationally televised games have featured either a matchup of the Field Generals or a Field General going up against someone else. Now we get tomorrow night, I believe, what is it? Oh yeah, tomorrow night we get Geno and Dak on national TV. And then of course we get Hurts for the big doubleheader game. And let's see, we get Russell versus CJ Stroud at 1 o'clock.
How about Russell's the comeback player of the year? He's won six in a row. It's definitely making folks nervous because
Russell Wilson is dead. Russell Wilson can't do anything. Well, guess what? I'm back.
That's what I said. Long. I don't know what the people were talking about. I'm hearing all the memes and clowns.
To me,
it got on my nerves.
Yeah. The fact that he's doing it without really any running game is amazing.
And people kill me, especially something against these first world competing stars. Number one. And number two, I'm listening to these so-called experts. I'm going, have you all forgot how Russell, for 9 years, the guy was one of the top players in the league? All of a sudden, he has a bad day. He's a bum? Come on, guy. Wait, we see what real bums look like. That's the Jets. Please.
They won. Guy like Allen, they want A-Bear, they want Burroughs. And today, I said, here we go today with Aaron Rodgers back in the news again. Do you remember 10 years ago with Brett Favre, what he did? Here we go again. He made quarterback again in the news.
But
with Brett Favre, you're going to have to specify because are we talking about the one that showed his love pork chop to the reporter, or are we talking about the one that him swindling? Are we talking about the Brett Favre that swindled the state of Mississippi, or which Brett Favre are we talking about?
Okay, let's talk about Brett Favre.
Hold up.
In New York. I want to pay. And here we go again with this move. Aaron Rodgers with the same thing.
Hold on, Gary. I got Eric Sutherland, and I got the professor Fred Ritter Whitney, as well as Patrick Sierra. Guys,
can I just throw something out there right quick?
Yep.
I'm still on VegaInsider.com, and they have their little side bets or what have you. And I just went by MVP odds. And here are the top seven. Favorites, so to speak.
All right.
Number seven is CJ Stroud. Number six is Brock Purdy.
Oh my God.
Number five is Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh my God.
Number four is Lamar Jackson. Number three is Dak Prescott.
Holy shit.
Number two is Patrick Mahomes. And according to Vegas Insider, the odd draw choice to win the most valuable player is
Josh Allen.
Jalen Hurts. But isn't it interesting? Six of their seven
six of their seven candidates are field generals. Ooh.
Yeah, but see, Tony, who they put in there? Rob Bernie, right? Now, Rob Bernie is their savior. Because Burroughs is injured, Rodgers is out.
Gary, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Really? I see him every week.
But you gotta know is this. What are they not saying about Jalen? They were making up shit about Cam Newton. But it's almost like they're annoyed that they can't say anything about Jalen Hurts. Tell me from a football standpoint what you don't like about the guy. If you have nothing else, then move on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even trying. They're trying to make him disappear, so to speak. As if he was a rabbit in a hat and shit. Gentlemen, I need some help.
Well, I mean, when you look at what T-Mac ran down, I mean, you can't deny the effective and efficiency of the position. Ultimately speaking, a coach ultimately was going to go with their best players. Ultimately speaking. You know, they want to win more than they want to have challenges. And if that means putting a brother under center, that's what they're going to do.
Hello.
And we've seen that in the recent draft. We see that throughout college football, right? They can put a brother under center, which is the move. That's what they're going to roll with. You know, I mean, Andre Ware, you know, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, didn't translate well to the pros because of the system, but he was under center, right? Years ago, Tony Rice was with Notre Dame under the inimitable Lou Holtz. And they went with him. Jimmy Ray, as far back as Michigan State, the kill by the kill game, was under center for Michigan State. Yeah. 1-2. So the pigmentation part of it, you know, and everything that's been talked about that, I mean, Warren Moon, we're going to go with Warren. He's our best quarterback, right? We haven't seen the butchery that took place with Eldridge Dickey, right, you know, years ago when and other brothers that just had to switch positions. I mean, Charlie Ward was the friggin' Heisman Trophy winner, and didn't get drafted. Went to the NBA. Charlie Ward is Russell Wilson before Russell Wilson. Charlie Ward was as nice as they get. Heisman. Right? You know, and it didn't pan out. So today's National Football League, you know, six of the seven, I would Dak is balling. I mean, you can't take nothing away. You know, they've lost a good team, but Dak is balling now. I mean, they're blowing teams out that they have played, and he's under center, so you can't rest on Dak. So what is Dallas quarterback? Dak is balling, period.
You know, Eric,
getting
two
the
things,
job done. Right?
Eric, two things happen. Eric, two things happen. One, there is a core of guys from the last 20 years that have gotten old and moved on.
Correct.
Secondly, we've been saying for years, the defenses have gotten so athletic, they had to do something.
Exactly. You've got to have the brother that can move in the pocket. Absolutely. The Brady era is dead. The Rodgers era is dead.
And they switched the game.
But, you know, if you look at it, you know, to your, about Tony's assessments about the quarterback, I mean, right now I would put Russell Wilson ahead of Purdy. You know, you put Russell Wilson in Shanahan's system with those weapons, they're 13-0.
Most definitely.
You know? Yeah. You know, I mean, Purdy gets the props, but for a couple of things. One, they got a great offensive line.
Yeah.
They got a really good running back. They got weapons at tight end. They have the Niners have all pros at every position.
In a system that don't miss.
Right. And Purdy is like, if you can pencil in Shanahan's style of offense with how Purdy's strengths are, it just matches. And Kittle, and then the key that flipped everything for them was McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's as legit as he come. I don't care if he was, you know, green from Mars. I watched this thing up and play. I never see him go backwards on contact. Rarely does he get tackled in the open field. He sets the streak for winning games. They go at him hard, and more times than not, they take it more than he takes. And that, in effect, gets back up and keeps going.
You know, Roger Craig with speed. He's Roger Craig.
Yeah.
He's a smaller version of Roger Craig with speed.
McCaffrey, yep. Man. I mean, I've watched dude, you know, they're local, obviously, on NorCal for me and G, so Niners are pretty prevalent. But, I know some brothers, you know, affiliated, you know, with the Niners, you know, are, you know, Eric Armstead obviously being one. And, you know, the way that they do the analytics on his capabilities, you know, I mean, no joke. And I trust the sourcing, you know, because they're not, you know, into the BS. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, you know, when you look at those things about how you set up the whole play, you know, it's really kind of interesting because what was this Monday night game that just took place? It was Minnesota. It was two brothers out there, right? Minnesota played who?
Chicago,
Jalen, yeah. I mean, you know, the brother from the Bears, man, you know, could you please give him some freaking help?
And here's what gets me. You know, I'm a Justin Fields man to the hilt.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit there and tell me. I've seen that boy play for 2 years. You ain't going to sit there and tell me that he is the problem with that team. And the amount of people saying, they need to move on from him. No, he needs to move on from them.
I agree with that.
And I'm curious how Warren, who was commissioner of the Big Ten, who knows Justin Fields, and the GM is a brother, that they haven't really gotten grip on what to do with him to improve him. Now, everybody's now vying for the fact that, well, Chicago was on the first pick. They're going to get Caleb Williams. And are they going to mess him up too?
Chicago's a hot mess, right? They lost their coordinators, right, behind all kinds of side shit. You know, the head coach, man, he looks more like a dentist or a math teacher.
You ain't wrong.
I mean, I'm like, damn, who's he connected to?
And that's a defamation for all dentists and chiropractors.
Sorry, Dennis. Sorry, DDS. C-Mac is right. My apologies. I mean, you talk about a team, right? You know, we have a lot of, creative minds here. And if we were to put together collectively a cast or a movie script, we would never cast Homeboy as the head coach. You know what I mean? You know, maybe a referee, right?
Here's the killer.
Yes.
Will somebody get smart with these guys in the league? Get smart and get Jim Caldwell back in charge of the offense. Maybe they win something.
Is Caldwell still in the league?
There you go.
Is he in the league?
He's an assistant with somebody. He's an assistant with someone.
Yeah, one of those consultant type things.
Yeah, that's what
I think he's like a quarter. I want to say he's like player personnel or something to that effect.
All right.
But yeah, okay. So he's not. But see, here's to buttress what Patrick said. All you got to do is look at downtown Charlotte. Frank Third Reich.
Thank you.
Began the year as the pseudo head coach offensive coordinator.
No, he was the head coach. They gave him the juice too. He went with Bryce Young.
He was also like the pseudo offensive coordinator. And then he handed the reins over to, I believe, the quarterback coach at some point, and they still kept losing. So Reich took it back, and now Reich apparently is working at Bojangles because he lost his job.
They got good briskets, man. Pick me up a six-pack of jalapenos.
With his record, he cannot get a job at Bojangles.
You know what I'm saying, Patrick? Fire up some of them southern biscuits. I ain't getting that shit in Cali, man. Hook a brother up, man. Let's get them biscuits out here.
That's cold, Frank. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Frank Reich was doomed. We knew that was not going to work out because, you know, whenever you crap on Ken Wilkes like that, nothing's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkes, that was Wilkes' job.
Speaking of people who should be on the sideline, you all mentioned someone who should be offensive, Coach Caldwell, who I had the pleasure of meeting while the play was in Winston, and
right.
he was at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
But what about Mr. Wilkes at least being an offensive coordinator for Blackfoot? You know, both of these guys deserve a head coaching job.
A nice contract, 5-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And well, proper support from the
no 5-year deal, Mike. 3-year, 2-year deal with an extension.
Either way,
yeah.
And, you know, they also need proper support from the management, from the front offices.
True.
And see, back to the quarterback thing, the thing that you all not said, I didn't hear anybody mention was. Have any of you noticed that, you know, everybody wants these 6'3 to 6'5 or better.
That's a given.
220.
Yeah, super athlete, super jock, super jock.
Or better guys playing quarterback, white guys, of course. But where are they going to get them from? Because even in Ivy League, they have black quarterbacks now.
Correct.
Fred,
the military academies as well.
Fred, they're going to invent somebody.
Most of the academy run Wishbone or some version of option football. They don't train guys to play necessarily in NFL because
no, Fred, they got to do their service.
They got service to do.
They got 2 years afterwards.
You know, while we're on that, you know, keep in mind we had some guys who lost their lives last night. Shall we say rehearsing for the war that we're not in just quite yet.
Quite at a depth,
you know. These are the kind of things that the pool of white boy quarterbacks just ain't there no more. Go down the different school, go down the list of different conferences. And see, my other thing is look beyond the Fab Five conferences because, you know, they're like amoebas. They're morphing from one thing to another and splitting and going all over the place. But you know, look at the quarterbacks they're producing. Go get outside of the Fab Five, look at the quarterbacks, get into FCS and all the other alphabet soup, look at the quarterbacks. More and more of these guys are becoming brothers.
Can I ask something like that? Go on, Fred.
You know, and now, you know, and see, they're still trying to squeeze white boys in the quarterback position that don't fit.
Oh,
and get systems that don't work, and it's the sad thing. So many brothers get screwed over and screwed around in this process. But you know, we take the time to sort it out. You know, you all mentioned the what's his name, Weiss,
Sam Weiss,
head coach in Charlotte, in the Carolina Panthers. You know, they just had a game, 2 weeks ago? I won't mention who was in town, but they had more people that were stars on than they had with cats on. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, the other thing with Frank Reich is the fact that he never won the locker room. There's a total disconnect.
There you go.
I mean, Shaq Thompson, you know, as a young man I've known since a young age, you know, he's injured this year. He can't play, right? So I'm not going to quote Shaq, but Frank Reich's winning nobody over in that locker room. There's just no panache. There's no flavor. There's nothing there that's, you know, relevant in terms of, you know, connecting
Very
to the
point.
Coach. And the players will
he
quit
don't
on
know
you.
Them, and they don't know him.
Yeah, the happened in Indianapolis. I mean, it got so bad with the player disconnect with Indianapolis. I mean, Ursay pulled out friggin' what's that dude's name from ESPN to come coach them?
Saturday?
Yeah,
he pulled out Saturday. Yeah. The disconnect was so bad with the communication and not having really anything to really vibe on as a coach. Yeah. And that's where a guy like Tomlin just finds a way to keep eking out wins, keeps eking out on the winning records, despite not getting much really help, really. I mean, defensively, he's really good. You know, offensively, they just don't have enough anything, right? But enough, but they ball for him. They're going to find a way, you know, to get down for him. They're going to get nitty-gritty with them. Steelers never get into a game where they don't show up. They can get out talented sometimes and just lose a game through attrition, but they don't typically get outplayed with effort by their players, you know. And so they have that always in play. That's always the measurement. How hard did the players play for your team? What was the do or die factor? That's just one reason why. Same thing with Pete Carroll. You know, I mean, Pete, like him or don't like him, you know, the fact is they ball for him. You know what I mean? So he'll find a way to push that needle. You know, you hear what I'm saying? And then you got the dude, and what's the dude with the Rams, McVay, who approaches the game like a PlayStation system with overwork. I mean, he totally wore down Todd Gurley, right? Todd Gurley just could not go anymore. And he's doing it with Cooper Kupp, right? After Cooper Kupp had that, you know, incredible season, got overly maxed out, his hamstrings are done. Cooper Kupp can't last. That super season he had is burned out. So when Butch Johnson came on this show, he made some very key points that's relevant as well. You know, he said Landry put a system in place that reduced player injury. So they, a lot of these players have longevity. You can look at the Cowboys and see they're rolling out pretty much the same personnel in a 10-year window. The Steelers back in the day as well, right? No could do that as well. These coaches, they can wear these players out. And Max, Shanahan's another one. Guys, you know, they come, they go, they max them out. Debo comes in, he goes out, he goes to quarterback. His backs blow out, right? Bosa blows out. And they got this overly physical system. Kittle goes out.
And the point essential is your boy and mine, Bill Belichick. That's part of the problem. He's worn people out.
Yeah, it's a wrap. You know, so these coaches don't have the nomenclature, the understanding of what to do to kind of like really, you know, stretch out, extend careers, you know, and push certain things. You're going to get injuries always, right? It's a matter of time. But when you look at certain teams, like, you know, not to get off gear, but the Portland Trailblazers would always have just major knee injuries over and over again, like for decades and shit, you know? So what is your training staff doing? I could go into that a long time. They get you on the floor so you can play 82 games. They don't give a damn what you do in between as long as you show up to play.
And that's so much part of now the culture, but the system that needs to be used to develop a team in terms of who's buying in and how they're buying in. And the coaches who can – oh, we know God can do X and O's, and they can fluctuate based upon the situation and the personnel. But, guy, who is buying – who does when you walk in perfect case?
Well, the pressure is such. It's easy to sit back, you know, review it. But when you're up close and personal to it, it's outside the understanding of the general fan. The pressure is such, and especially with, you know, the social media. I mean, they have analytics where they can say, well, when on third down plays, when hypothetically the Browns use this particular formation, they get 22% production, right? And it's even broken down further than that, right?
Particularly in football.
You know, even further than that. And so when you roll at the teams, they got to roll at these pressure. And you'll see teams literally sacrifice their personnel. It's like when Tua had that first concussion, he was out there maybe the next week. That was insanity. You know, and then on the collegiate level, and I've seen this on the collegiate level, I literally seen a head coach literally sacrifice his son for the money. I watched it. Every week he was, I mean, I'm like, dude, pull him. He can't take this shit. He's got his whole life ahead of him. And then, you know, a family member says, hey, reason why he couldn't go to the last game, he had a fractured back.
That's why
he sacrificed his blood relative for the money. I witness this every friggin' week.
But that's why.
Now, if someone was a counter subject to that, I'm all open for the combo. But That's what happens out there with that pressure and that money.
The money, they can't ignore the money, and they can't ignore the fact that this black man is leading the team. It's not the winning, it's how they won. Come from behind, no problem. Win overtime, no problem.
We've seen it with Cam. Was Cam Newton the same after the Super Bowl with the Broncos, the beatdown he took?
Yep.
Yeah.
Was Michael Vick the same when he came back and they allowed him to get teed off on well after the throws every time he was in the damn pocket and there was no pass interference, no PI?
And guys, here's the question. Will Josh Allen fall to the same thing? Because I heard guy said last week, he's the most physical quarterback they've had in years. I'm going, did anybody see Cam Newton play? And Cass is hitting that dude. I don't know.
Late all the time. Michael Vick, man, I mean, I've seen him get into the end zone. You know how he like to take the corner, the pylon, right? He'd go to the pylon all the time and dive. Expose his shoulders, reach out. Dude's airborne, crossing the hydroplane, and he's getting kaboomed. Because they know that's his style when he gets to the pylon, right? Never a penalty.
No question. And they even told Cam after a game where he got beat down, what's up with the calls or non-calls, and he said, you're not in the league long enough to get that call. It's like
Colin Kaepernick under Chip Kelly, right? When Chip Kelly came to the Niners. Colin Kaepernick was a physical threat, right? He's the one that rearranged the rules. Jeff Fisher, right? Y'all always say Jeff Fisher changed that read option rule that he had, that he just almost went for 200 yards against the Packers. No one, we haven't seen that from a quarterback in a playoff game, go for 200 yards the way Kaepernick was running it. And then Kaepernick, the following year, he was a physical force, height, size, all those things you talk about, like Fred talking about, the so-called prototypical with speed. He had a gun. He had a razor. And Harbaugh had him right. They went to the Super Bowl with Kaepernick, right? Forget about that. Kaepernick let him. And then the following year, Kaepernick took on such a pounding. He was like a physical zipper. And when he came back from all those injuries, I mean, he took a ton of injuries, full body injuries because he was a physical. They took away that. The following year, he was no longer the quarterback. It got so bad for Kaepernick that he started that year with a black face visor. And that's illegal in the NFL. Quarterbacks cannot have a black face visor. Right?
And don't forget, they changed the rule after Kaepernick. They changed the rule to quarterbacks, correct?
That's what I mentioned. And so the point being, again, when he came back, he was no longer the same player. And that's why it got so bad for Kaepernick. He didn't have the same physicality. That's when he went to the black face mask. Because he had to be more of a pocket guy because he took such a physical beat in the previous year, and then he was never going to be the same player no matter what anyway. So a lot of his pushback and things that happened was he was physically no longer the same player because of the allowance to beat his ass.
It's going to be already you're talking about the change in terms of they're already talking about next year's draft. We're talking about filling that void for the image that they want to put out. The two players that don't look like us are the kids from North Carolina and Bo Nix. Those two guys are going to move up significantly in the draft despite the talent of other players. It's going to happen. I'm already.
Bo Nix has played what? More college football games than anyone in the history of college football. I mean, he's like a 12-year senior or some shit. All time. He's played more in an offensive system stuff. But see, with Andrew Luck, the Colts are running the same thing with Richardson. Luck just quit because he couldn't take the contact no more.
I saw him play live twice. He had no line. God.
He got destroyed. The missing factor is with the brothers behind center. That's why Jalen started taking less runs, right, or diving when there's going to be contact. Mm-hmm. You will not last.
Mm-hmm. Get out of bounds.
Got to. You got to. I mean, I used to put, you know, back to the Buffalo's quarterback, I'm just like, you know, no direct names vague, but people are smart here. I used to cringe watching, you know, the contact he was taking. You know, and then it got to a point where he would just crumble to the ground. It was just horrible because the physical beating they were putting down, like we said before, they weren't targeting him. They were targeting leadership through him.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Are
yes,
they lost?
Which makes you wonder why, when they take a guy, what the hell is it that they're really looking for? Fred, I bring you to this point because, again, Carolina had one, the first choice. They took Royce Young as opposed to C.J. Stroud. It's clear that Stroud right now is the better player. Now, we all know from doing draft that draft is usually 3 years to find out.
Way better player, yeah.
A year to learn the book, a year to get all the wrinkles down. And then by the third year, you should be ready to play whatever position you're playing. That hasn't happened. You have to either make a hit right off the bat with a quarterback or you're in shit's creek. And now, Stroud's given every indication he's going to be a 10-year veteran at least. You're not getting that from Young. What do you see as to why? Hey, good evening.
You all miss all the comedy behind all this because here among North
loving to hear the comedy
here among the Carolinians
can't wait
they went out Carolina went all out last year to draft the shortest quarterback in the United States at any level.
Muggsy Bogues? They drafted Muggsy Bogues, right?
Muggsy Bogues could at least jump and run. add to that a system that is not necessarily workable.
There you go.
His
there you go. There you go.
And then you take it a step further. Carolina is on their fourth head coach in 3 years.
Fourth or fifth.
So
you're right.
So you got a bunch of play. You have say 26, 27 players on defense on offense who don't know what the hell they're going to be doing next year because they don't know what they're doing now. Now, since the departure of one Cam Newton. Who's the best quarterback that they've had in Carolina?
Baker Mayfield.
What was the dude that took him to the Super Bowl?
Jake DeLone?
Number 17, yeah, Jake DeLone.
Oh, God.
It's Cam Newton.
That's old school.
It's Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Other than Cam Newton, who they had that was a good quality quarterback, Mr. Walker.
PJ wasn't bad.
Yep.
They won with him.
They couldn't wait
till he got off the field for with his last game to get rid of him.
Good one.
To put it
and I think Mayfield came in after him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, either way you look at it, they've had defense is easy. You know, you do a little muscle in the right place and react to what the offense does, and then go in and tear something up. That's defense.
There you go.
But they don't have mentality among their players because there is no continuity at this point. Again, they're on their fifth head coach in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So where is all those quantifying things and qualifying things that make you a good team? They don't got none of it.
And Fred, you know something
else? And they still got a guy who's they got a guy who is the owner who's an idiot.
Yes.
Bigger
yes.
idiot than what there we had
is.
Before.
Freak.
There it is right there. There it is right
there. And he it's apparent that he's one of those guys who say, okay, this is gonna lose me just throw out a number. $50 million. Just gonna lose me. Well, not to worry. I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire, which means that $50 million is tax deductible for me.
That's right.
I go get on my yacht and we do what we do. As billionaires, buy another yacht. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have to buy franchises to be relevant people because they're bandits, all kinds of criminology to get their loot. You know, it's always a paper trail that ain't cool to keep it 100. You know what I mean? And so why do they, you know, buy $1 billion franchise? What's this dude, Ballmer for the Clippers? He put up $1 billion for the Clippers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban just sold his share for billions, where he still can maintain leadership to the Edelson family.
And
you got to do with the Redskins. He owns the Sixers. He owns the Commanders and someone else. You said and they're all linked. I mean, I could break it down. They're all linked to this global hedge fund scenario that's running an NBA ownership, but then why do they come out of the scenes from the coiffures there? Why do they have these people do that? Because they need that toy. You know, Jerry Jones let Jimmy Johnson go and became general manager, president, and everything else, de facto head coach, because he flat out said, I mean, you know, I don't like this behind the scenes. I want to be the front man, the purpose man, because their life's a purpose. So they get into the sports game, block people out, they take on the debt, but at the same token of time, they're trying to get a winning team, and they don't have the moxie, the mindset to put those squads together. It happens all the time.
And Chepa was in the locker rooms after games more than ever. I mean, him having last week, he was cussing everybody out, basically saying, "What the fuck is on this field?" I said, "Next day, your boy Frank was fired." He was burnt up. And here's what's worse.
Yeah, I mean, you got Paul Allen and the Allen family with the Microsoft loot. They got the Seahawks and the Trailblazers up in the great Northwest, right?
Yeah, but you don't hear nothing from them.
They come behind the scenes. So, I like to dress down all this glitz, gloss things for a thousandaire who thinks that's some fancy shit because they're getting into the process to try to connect with relevancy. You know, the Maloose at Kings out here for many years. All the Maloof. I mean, they got broken off completely out of the Vegas casino game and other things. But people who go to the rah-rah, siskum, bob things of the people locally had that. And it was all fluffery, pure, unadulterated fluffery. The DeBartolo York family owns the Niners. You know, with Eddie D. I mean, he had to bounce out.
Yeah, Youngstown guys. Youngstown,
you know what I mean? Maris and the Tisch family, longtime giant, you know, overlords, NFL, pantheons, the Hunt family. On it. Oh, look how the Hunts made their money. Look how the Lamar Hunt's dad, you know, one of the Hunt family members linked to the Kennedy assassination. On and on.
So I
hear that, you know, this owner wax poetic bullshit, like that's some kind of gloss, it is not.
Yeah.
You know, so they buy franchises. They want to be next to Michael Lewis Ingram and Patrick Farley, if you're the quarterback or athletes, because you came up from the ground up. That fascinates them with no added advances. Damn, let's hook up with them. You know, I mean, look at Magic out of East Lansing. Let's put them on. Let's put Jordan on. You know, these brothers came up out of the tier off pure talent. These guys came through hedge funds. They came through inheritances, but they want to connect with the brothers. They want to connect with the grassroots because they know that's the energy and the power. Let's not get that twisted. Yeah.
And the Myers family got there for over $600 bet in gambling. Please don't get me started.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
And the worst thing about
there's all kinds of information out there. Even the terminology quarterback was about the hustle. What the fuck is a quarterback? No one ever asked that question.
Yeah. Here's one thing about Carolina. Carolina got to give up 2 draft picks, the number one for next year. What the hell are they doing?
Jerry Richardson was a stone cold racist there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
Yes, he was.
Big time.
Leave my homeboy out of there.
Stone Cold. Stone Cold racing. You go to Fayetteville and see they still got the slave market roundabout in that MF.
But you know something? He was a racer until he got around John Mackey.
I mean,
you talk about thuggery. You talk about thuggery and gangsterism.
Man,
you know. What's that dude that had the ran Rosenblum and these people from way back and all that? You know,
and
Georgia Frontieri became his wife. Georgia Frontieri was his wife, and she's going into the locker room, and she's basically kissing every brother in there after every game.
Yeah. And who was the owner for the Eagles that got rent, Mike, that had rented?
Leonard somebody. Leonard.
Oh, man.
Toast. He gambled all his money away.
Yeah, exactly. He had a gambling addiction. Joe Robbie. What's the dude that owned the defunct video shirt? He owned the Dolphins.
He owned one of those
videos were in. You know, he had one of them chains.
These
guys are just rolling out what billionaires do. No, billionaires do. They want to connect with the brothers. They want to do. If you go back and just switch it, because I was on this topic with a lot of people who go back in the day. A lot of these people remember when Connie Hawkins and Roger Brown was coming up in New York City in Brooklyn, right? And they got hooked up with Jack Malinas, right? Malinas was this gambling dude who ended up getting popped. Assassination style in Los Angeles years later, but he ruined their whole thing just by association. You know, riding around in the caddies, you know, taking them, you know, whatever. And he was a major fixer. So this shit's been going around sports for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they got caught up, lost their careers, got ineligible, all that kind of things like that. But what is it about these individuals who always want to connect with the grassroots brothers with the great skills? So when you teach people coming up in sports, you got to let them know, listen, man, all that glitters will go, and don't ever see these people as smarter than you. They want to connect with you,
and pay you as least as they can, unless they have to.
Isaiah Thomas, you know the owner. I mean, you know Bill Davidson was the owner when he was at Detroit. Isaiah was interesting. I ain't gonna knock Zeke. I know him. I met him. I talked to him. But you know, Zeke got was doing some interesting things in Detroit. You know, with car games. I'll just word it that way on this come up. You know, Tommy Hearns, all these had these major card games. It was
you know what I mean?
I'm going to just keep it real general. People can do the research if they want to, but that's on them, right? But what I'm saying is you're going to rub against them. But in each one of those scenarios, these people want to connect with the brothers. They want to connect with them. Look what Ali did. All these motherfuckers want to run with him. It's what your talent dictates. You're the dictator. You just get the script flip because you get caught up in the price. That's what happened with, you know, a lot of young brothers. You know, Malinas was coming by, he was mobbed up to the fullest. Yeah. He was gambling on games. He was a fixer. They never fixed by association. They couldn't trust it. They lost years of their career. But they were beyond super talented young men. I mean, he said legends to this day. Still talked about when they played for a city championship PSL in New York City. Now, I'd go back to this because I know people through my father and others who live these areas who I may have sat around. And I kind of know these stories from a firsthand basis. But in each one of these kind of relays, they always share how these MFers who run these things are the true snakes and how fascinated they are with them. And ultimately, they resent them. Kobe Bryant said it best. The same thing you love me for, you hate me for.
And the thing about now is the fact that the legalized gambling – and that hides and covers up so much stuff. But now it's in the open, and which is why I was talking to somebody a while back. I said within a year, the gambling entities of FanDuel and other people will have that stake in the league. Well, it's in every league now.
Well, here's a trade-off to that, too. The gambling addiction and the Gamblers Anonymous roles have increased like 1,000% since the advent.
I'll give you the numbers on that one.
Money's destroyed. So So people will come in here with these bets, but the great majority of these people are losers. The average sports fan is a sports fan. They don't know shit behind the scenes. They don't know how to read a game. They don't know how to read these kind of concepts.
All I know from last year, I had the memos. I don't have them with me right now. I had them last week. The last year, the it went up from 16 billion to now 27 billion in the first 6 months of this year. We haven't got to the playoffs yet.
Correct. I mean, inflation's up. A person can't feed his family. Credit card debt through the roof. Shit,
yeah.
Let me put my money on my Giants on just hope and prayer.
Jeez.
And it's not going to be. Nowadays, you have never seen more fans ever in the history of viewing sports on television when they scan the crowd and you see people looking 19 and up, looking like they're ready to commit to Harry Kari or jump off the building. Those people placed bets.
And you know something? Here's what's interesting. Today, I was getting, I stepped back to the house before I went back to the studio. You know, every Wednesday they have Mad Dog with Stephen A. on his thing.
Oh, and, it was crazy. It was
yeah,
crazy.
And they would, Mad Dog was going, he has his rant every segment on Wednesdays. But he was talking about how much money he lost. So Stephen A. Smith, well, how much money did you lose this way? He said, guess how much money I lost? Stephen A. said, $150,000. And then Swaggo would say, maybe 60. He said, in between there. Now, to make that on TV now, like it was nothing to it, lets me know what's going on.
Yep.
I mean, this NBA analyst, Charles Barkley being one, I mean, he's being chased
Charles,
by
Charles
one of the casinos for outstanding glute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and it goes on. I mean, there's some serious debtors out there that have been served, who lost money behind the scenes in the game room. So it's all the glitter. Jamal Crawford talks about when he got in the league, you know, like many people, you know, he was really a Jordan Knight. And then, you know, he decided to follow the path, and they went on a little gambling spree, and he got caught up, and he was just blowing money. He had to push back because he couldn't play at that level. But he thought that was the way. That was the example. Then he realized, no, this is not the way. This is not the example. Tiger Woods was told directly by people close to him, whatever you do, stay away from MJ.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of guys, not to change the subject, within basketball, I don't know about you guys. I was skeptical in my years around the league of this midseason tournament. But I have to say, the marketing of this thing and the money they're pulling in and the interest is intriguing to the point to where they're already upping the credentials and the aspects of next year's sponsorship, and in particular overseas. That's what's really interested me, because they're playing this in-season tournament much like they do soccer, and it's created a more interest than I thought it ever would.
Yeah. You got to remember, soccer was betting big money long before football even drove up. And I'm talking long before we decided gambling was okay. We're talking huge pots. We're talking huge amounts of money. They call them transfers. But the real issue is these are contracts. And the transfer fees to take one player from one place to another was, I mean, they were beyond big. They were way, way before the super contracts that the quarterbacks in the NFL got. And it's going to stay that way. For what they bet on football, it's probably an iota what they really bet on soccer.
Well, I mean, you know, you have that, but then you also have dark web bets, which is way exponential. The dark web, you know, it's everything's going down on that bad boy.
Yeah. It's interesting. Again, it's interesting to see again how this in season tournament is working, and how and here's the killer. The killer was how the Knicks have in position themselves to possibly be in it, and the guys are saying you know it's the money, and who was it? What's the guy's name that played with Villanova? He said it ain't the money so much. Well, I can buy a watch with that money. That's $500,000, bro. What are you talking about?
I mean, like it was nothing to it.
I mean, didn't Shannon Sharp get robbed of $1 million in jewelry before bouncing off the show and heading out?
Yeah,
sure did.
Yeah.
All right, so $1 million in jewelry just hanging out in his house.
That's why you don't show your damn house, please.
Well, to quote the moniker to live and die in Los Angeles. There's Master Cease in L.A. You talk about those Robert De Niro heat crews from that movie? Remember you had a crew that used to jack and steal shit? I mean, you got all kinds of crews like that in L.A., man. So that don't matter about the address shit. These guys, they get the drop. They get the codes. They get the pings. Highly sophisticated. And the job is clean. There's no leads. There's no trail. There's no recovery. That shit has already been fenced. Is that elaborate and elite?
And there's also, not to change the subject, but there's also a moral drop that we're talking about. And it's not just the greed from the gambling. It's the players losing their motherfucking mind. Apparently, in the National Hockey League, there's a player, Corey Perry. He's a veteran. He's been in the league for years. He plays for the Chicago Blackhawks. He was caught fucking somebody's mom.
What?
That thing what I'm saying here. He was fucking somebody's mom. He's fucking somebody's mom, and they had to let him go. Moral turpitude is what they probably said. But think about what happened in the NBA. If somebody's mom had been fucked and it came out and was made public knowledge, we would have had the scandal of scandals, and it would have been...
We have seen that rumor. we have seen that associated with a player named Delonte West.
And guess who else? LeBron James' mama too was messing around. Come on,
That's Delonte West.
Yeah. Somebody else's mama was messing up. Besides him, oh God.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of stories. I mean. I got facts on that. It's very dirty and grimy, let alone other players' wives.
Oh, Alan Iverson's mama was acting the fool. I'm sorry.
Oh,
She was a wild girl. Wild girl.
I mean, listen, man. You know, we know one thing about jocks. When you get past the illusion.
Yeah,
and the Puff Piece articles from all the Puff Piece writers out there to keep their media credential, hiding and covering up all kinds of scenarios of what's been taking place. This has been going on since Babe Ruth was banging everybody out, in the squad. So this is nothing new.
Yeah.
He was black, which is something new for some of these folks out there, but I digress.
I mean, I can recall that. Well, shit, might as well use the language. Craig Hodges was having, he was pushing up, MJ and them not being socially conscious and this, that, and the other.
Very true.
And then later on, his wife was an R. Kelly fan, and next thing you know, R. Kelly was meeting her behind KFC Chicken near the dumpster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know the story. Yeah.
Right?
So
if you push up an MJ, that seems to be the modus operandi. So then Pippen writes his book, goes in on Jordan. Next thing you know, Jordan's son is with his Pippen's wife.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so she met his son when he was a toddler.
Mm-hmm. And she's definitely tripping.
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't pass judgment on what these MFers, what people decide to do. I'm just saying that this is status quo in that world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's a question from Fred. Fred, has any basketball teams in HBCUs stood out? Because I've been trying to check on a couple of them that's not being blown away by, bigger schools.
Come again?
Is any HBCU basketball teams maybe possibly distinguish themselves in the preseason before the league stands out? I've been checking a couple of them, and
off the top of my head, there have been several men and women's teams from
from Division One that have beaten similar schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in football there will be Division One, Double A, and because I know who's it, Jackson State just a couple of days ago beat Arkansas State. And you know they in football language they would play each other head up. I have only seen one or two Power Five schools to lose. I can't name them right off. And then there's just well that's football.
Well, who's playing?
We've seen going around flashing Jordan and wondering why somebody broke in there now. Locker room, but we'll skip over that.
Who's playing in Atlanta next week for the Black College Championship?
Howard.
Yeah, Howard's one of them.
I think it's Howard in FAMU.
Okay.
Yeah, FAMU. Okay. Well, Howard didn't have a bad team. They didn't have a bad team at all.
It's gonna be funny because literally because they still have players that came over with them from the MEAC, but literally the MEAC will be winning either way you go because FAMU still has players left over from the MEAC. Not many, but they do have some.
And the state of North Carolina, I'm always interested in North Carolina Sisters basketball team because they've always seemed to have a good squad every year.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Richmond last weekend in one double A first round.
Mm-hmm. They've always had some ball players. Not that they recruited the kid from Jersey, but he decided to go in the last minute. Kid from Jersey City, 6'6 kid. You know, so I had to stay home. I told him to go down to North Carolina Central because ain't got but 10,000 students, even 1,000 brothers. Rest his woman down there. So, because he had to stay home.
They had to compete with guys from Duke in Carolina.
Okay. All right.
You're talking about football. Okay, just move on.
I'm talking about basketball. This kid is a basketball player. They were recruiting him, and I told him I'd been down there, man.
Before we get the final question, Patrick, I got to ask you, what do you think about Jalen Hurts, and did you know he was going to be this good?
I thought he had the potential to be this good. Most definitely. Most definitely. To the level he is now, I didn't know. But I know he was better. I know one thing, he was better than what people thought. How can a guy go from Oklahoma to another school, Alabama, and all of a sudden he can't play? And then on top of that, you know, one guy plays one good year and goes first round and they mess his whole head up. Now he can't play. That's Mac Jones. Right?
Matt Jones, terrible.
He's been destroyed. He was destroyed by Patricia and Joe Judge. Just the fact that they were coaching the offense it should be criminal. And now they're going to get rid of him. But Jalen, I'm not surprised at Jalen at all. You can't be that good with two powerhouse teams, and all of a sudden you can't play. And watch. I'm interested to see how this develops over the next 2 years. The quarterback that they got now in Alabama, that boy is a show enough truth.
Okay, so Fred, I gotta say, I don't mean to pick on you, but you know, Carolina's looking at this guy. They're looking at Stroud, and they picked Young over Stroud. And I'm still shaking my head because white, black, and wise, you knew it wasn't so much size. Style-wise, Scott was built to last, and Young was getting kicked in his ass. what is it that you think Carolina can do, if anything, to fix their situation at quarterback?
Get some linemen.
What they really need to do is sell the franchise and move into Steelers.
I co-sign on that. Where's the petition?
At least they will have a defense that can stop somebody, and an offense that can close that eventually, once we get the OC situation squared away, so we won't have a coordinator, an offense coordinator who don't want his position coaches in practice. And not to play the race card, but you see how white people can get away with all kinds of stuff. And yeah, so you have to be always have to be mindful of the fact that quite often when they're doing things like that, they're trying to show a good side or upside with them supporting a brother, but the reality is they ain't supporting anything. Realistically, they're trying to undermine him and make it look like, at the end of the day, it makes it look like it's his fault. Can we see that before it happened to Jim Caldwell and Fred?
And Fred, they said, and it's coming out from what I'm reading and understanding that Rex didn't want him in the first place. Frank or Rex didn't want him in the first place.
I've heard that too, but. This is part of the constipation that the Panthers have put up with since the beginning. You got people out there who are making decisions from they're putting their hand into the cookie jar without knowing what kind of cookies are in it and if they're cookies at all. And unfortunately, here's a young man. His only value is he played at Alabama.
That's right.
At Alabama, he had better blocking. He had better receivers. He had better runners.
Much better blocking. Much better blocking.
And in case they got caught with the hands in the cookie jar, they had a defense that could hold down the fort for him. They don't have that now. They're high schools, and we're in the tail end of our I think it's got a regional finals this week in the high school level across the state, and they're high school teams. I know one of the ones from Winston-Salem and the one that's from down there Charlotte. They play technically far better than the Panthers play.
It's like my mom said, hard hit make a sore behind. And Carolina's going to have a sore behind for a little bit. You get the final thoughts? Patrick, please set it off.
Well, as the season moves on, it's always interesting to see how these teams are going to pull off in the playoffs. You know, I'm always aghast by the amount of predictions week by week of who's going to be in the playoffs. I think anybody, from my perspective, anybody at this point who is not taking games week by week and evaluating based upon what they do, not their projected ability, is crazy. And I think it's best exemplified by last week, Russell Wilson beat my Browns. He only had like 178 yards passing and about 57 yards rushing. I'm hearing people talk about, you know, it was a situation where the defense played well, but what bothered me was, well, his quarterback rating. Did he win the game?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That's what I want. That's all I want to hear. I'm not talking about his numbers. I could care less about his numbers. He won the fifth straight game. So at this point, I want to see what teams flush out, because it's getting cold now. Cold in defense is going to dictate who goes further in the playoffs.
You're right about that, but as Jake Gaten was to say, Yeah, he's mobile, agile, hostile, and his quarterback, he has guile. He's smart. He's crafty. That's what Russell Wilson is. He should be the comeback player of the year if he doesn't get hurt. Professor.
Well, let me be nice. You know, we've been through a lot of craziness around here. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you know somebody in the military, salute them, because things in this area tells us, and I live just off base from Fort Liberty, as we're now known, we used to be Fort Bragg. And between the movement of war materials and just planes flying out at night like crazy, you don't see a single plane all day, and then at night you hear them flying overhead. But having said that, keeping things 100 with sports, you know, so far this year, several HBCUs have come up and defeated close games, good games, and I mentioned Jackson State beating Arkansas State and several others like that, because I know up and down the East Coast you've had HBCUs winning some of the, I think you referred to them as preseason games. That's starting to change. I think that's starting to change because as we move further and further down range, we're going to find out that you're gonna find out you got guys coaching, and I will pit the young man up at North Carolina Central against anybody. He has done a human job with what he had to work with, and he has not only done a human job, he has built a program almost from scratch because they were Division II when he took over. And he moved them along, and they're representing. I think he's only had one or two losing seasons in over a decade, and you know, just making it so far as he has is commendable. I don't know what's going on with Hampton. I don't know what's going on with ENT. I wish they had stayed in the NBAC and kept it strong, but they're sure taking some ass whoopings where they are.
I hear that.
Griffin, it was doing green. They don't want anything to do with Griffin. Not always green.
As my nephew would say, they always say grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But when you get over there, all you find out is it's just grass.
It's just grass indeed.
Yeah, sure. You know, good discourse. LeBron James just recently had a so-called milestone that, you know, people like that type of verbiage. Yet he has played more minutes of professional basketball than anyone in the history of the game. Now, that's a true measurable because, you know, one can say, well, if there wasn't for the advent of the three-point shot, if it wasn't for the advent of drafting high school players, which he was one of them, you know, there were some professional-ready high schoolers, you know, many years in the past, you know, back to Chamberlain, back to Al Sindor, as he was called there, you know, even guys like Elvin Hayes. Mm-hmm. There's many that were physically ready out of high school to play the professional game. It's a knowing fact that basketball can really peak skill and age-wise around 18 years old, you know what I mean, 18, 19, you know, as you move forward through the attrition. So these Russell needed college. There's others that may not have needed it if that was what the situation would have been in those years. So LeBron straight out of high school, you know, has played more professional minutes than anyone who's ever dressed up as a professional NBA player. Now, you can measure that through any era and any time frame because the minutes put in, the sweat equity put in is tangible. Despite rule changes, despite game changes, you still have to get on that floor and play, right? And so when you get a statistic like that, and one thing from a coaching standpoint, a front office standpoint, even a player standpoint, there's never been anyone associated with sports at any level that doesn't respect the fact that when a person shows up, they're going to be there for you. That's the top thing. That's the number one thing is presence and showing up. That Keanu Reeves movie, that baseball movie when he went to, you know, Cabrini-Green Chicago Project. Because he got, you know, to teach the young brothers there. And when they had the championship game, he had a, you know, quote that is so relevant because he told the kids, he said, listen, I lost one of their younger teammates to, you know, the so-called Cabrini-Green violence thing, you know, how these movies hype it up. And he told those young brothers, he said, listen, man, he goes, half a life is showing up. You know, I am totally impressed with your ability to show up. LeBron has showed up. And when you have that historical time in service, right, military, they call it rank has its privileges. They give out, you know, grandfather clocks when people retire from factories, right, for service and time put in. No one's not impressed with longevity. No one's not impressed with the time put in. So I want to embellish that point because James is going to show up. We know he's going to show out, but he's been able to endure all that's come his way. The money hasn't softened him. The fame hasn't softened him. None of that. The way he dedicates himself to his profession is rare in any business, let alone to be a player and deal with the flights, the delays, the weather, you know, the combustors, the media focus. No players and athletes have ever faced the media scrutiny as today's athletes are via the internet, artificial intelligence, other things. Yet this brother has the time in. So that in itself, from my perspective, regardless of the aesthetic that some players may have had, that may have been, say, more pleasing eye candy than what maybe James can do over the course of time. That in itself, the number of hours spent on that court deems him as the greatest player of all time because you have showed up and endured all those kinds of things like that. And there's not a person around that's not impressed with showing up. Just also to add in, you're the leading scorer of all time. Like it or not, basketball is still outscoring your opponents. You have more points than anybody without a point first. You've done it magically, my brother. Kudos to you.
Best point I've ever heard anybody make for anybody playing a sport with any level of longevity whatsoever. That was excellent, Eric.
And thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate
that. That's why we call. That's why we call LeBron
an HBCU.
James. That's why we call LeBron James the cash
cow.
I mean, we all respect the time, man. We all respect the effort. We all respect the put in. And when you got more minutes than anybody in professional basketball that's ever sat on the court, man, that's saying something.
Gary.
All right, the national hockey league has done it again. This month, Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury won the honor of his wife, who is a Native American from Minnesota. He wanted to wear a specially designed mask with Native American symbols on it. The National Hockey League said, no, you're not doing that. Now, it's very interesting. The National Hockey League will allow you to put boxers, grave diggers on your mat, and you will not let Marc-Andre Fleury put indigenous symbols on your mat. What's wrong with you? Once again, it shows America has to deal with Native American issues. Once again, as we go into 2024, we can do better than this.
We can't do better than this.
1 o'clock on Saturday.
Gary, that was a good one. We can't do better than this. But what bothers me most about it is the fact that we've seen masks. I remember Curtis Joseph when he played with St. Louis. His nickname was Tigo, and he had a fierce dog mask made up for him as opposed to the character that was in the Stephen King book. And everybody kind of took to it as it was some sort of endearment. It's bullshit. It was disgusting. Marc-Andre Fleury gets credit for nothing else being above it all and wanting to do what he can to extol his sport. The National Hockey League has taken two steps forward in recent years, but every now and then they take a step back. That's how difficult it can be sometimes to be human in a league that wants to pump humanity. And as we say, or as we should say, Sean Francisco, you guys, you serial killers, you baby molesters, you sociopaths, our speakers are fair. My Eagles are going to kick your ass. It's just a matter of time.
Someday, some way, you'll realize that you've been blind. Yes, darling, you're going to need me again. It's just a matter of time. Go. Until you reach the end of the line, but I know you'll pass my way again. It's just a matter of time. After I gave you everything I had, you laugh and call me a clown. Remember, in your search for fortune and fame, what goes up must come down. I know. That one day you'll wake up and find that my love was a true love. It's just a matter of
special shout out to my Canadian family here in British Columbia that's been looking out for me. Thank you very much. Yeah, big hug. Shout out to my Canadian family in Saskatchewan, Marcy, Willow, Luna, Amanda, all you guys out there. Look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully when it's a lot warmer. And everybody else, go safe, stay safe, be safe. Love to my daughters, Nikki, Leah, and Debbie. Everybody go safe. Take care. Good night.